becoming friendly with is. That means, that simple thing means you're stepping out of thousands of years of old mind patterns which are never friendly with what is. They need something else. They think they need something else. I need to find myself in the future. And becoming friendly with what is a spiritual practice. Some people don't become friendly with what is until what is, the suchness of this moment, becomes so painful and so unbearable that suddenly all resistance to it collapses. There's the state of surrender. And that is really the essence of all spirituality, is the state of yes to what is. Some people are driven to it through the intensity of suffering. Others encounter intensity of suffering and never find the yes. They remain trapped in a no. In other words, it's a descent into hell. At some point, they will wake up out of it. The beauty of spiritual teaching is that you don't need to wait for disaster before you can enter the state of yes, to realize the yes begins at this very moment. And if you cannot fully say yes to what is at this moment, internally, to simply align yourself with whatever appears in this now. After all, that's all there ever is. There's only the now ever in your life. If you're not aligned with this now, that's all there ever is in your life, then you're not aligned with life. And the egoic sense of self, the little me, is not aligned with life. It says, no, I want something else. So it's not open to the enormous possibilities that are in the now. Possibilities both of spiritual realization, even possibilities in terms of helpful things happening to you on the phenomenal level of life giving you what you need at that moment. Even on that level, it works. So, how do we step out of these many thousands of years of mind pattern of mental illness? Simply by stepping out of the stream of mind and time into the newness of this moment. You wake up into the now. And that's why I said you don't need, for this one thing that matters, knowing who you are beyond form, beyond the story in the head that gives most people their sense of who they are. My this, my that, my experiences, my relationships, my, let me tell you my story, that's me, and needing to revive it continuously. And of course, it hasn't completed itself, so needing desperately the future, because my story hasn't quite developed the way it should have. This is everybody's story. But people don't know that. I think it's just my story that hasn't gone the way it should have gone, but there's still the possibility that my story may work out. They never really work out for that long, because you can't look for yourself in a mental story, the story of me. No story ends with a happy wedding or honeymoon. It goes on. Old films, they are cut when there's the wedding, to keep alive the illusion that the story can complete you, that you can find yourself in it. So to honor the story, yes. To give it its due, yes. Not to neglect what I need to do on the level of my external existence, but not looking for who I am in the story of me. I'm beyond a storyline. So stepping out of that, you're not losing your memory. No, it's simply you're no longer identifying with the content of your mind. And that unconscious compulsion to add further content, which is only there because you're looking for yourself in content and you're not complete yet. You'll never be complete if you look for yourself in the content as experiences, knowledge, ideas, more relationships, whatever. That is really the energy behind what the Buddha calls, when he says what's at the root of all this human suffering, he calls it, is desire or craving or thirst, whatever way you want to translate what he said. That desire is a relatively weak word, so it's better the craving, the wanting, the needing, that comes about because you're looking for yourself in the realm of content. Whether it's just sense experience, add more sense experience to me, consume something, whether it's on the level of eating or sexuality or whatever, there's nothing wrong with any of these. Only if you start looking for yourself there, then it becomes this enormous craving behind it, enormous impulse, an unconscious thirst, desire, craving, wanting, needing. Ultimately, it's not the object that you really want, whether it's the food or whether it's sex or whether it's the experience or whether it's the knowledge, whatever it is that you're looking for on the level of content, or the new car, whatever. It's not really that what you're looking for. You're looking for yourself. And that is a desperate search for who I am. That's the root of all this desperate craving and wanting. It runs our whole civilization. If people no longer had this desperate craving and wanting, it would collapse. So they're looking for themselves. Even all the compulsions, ultimately, if you go to the root of it all, they're looking for themselves in that. And that in itself is not bad. It's beautiful that they're looking for themselves. They're looking for where they cannot find themselves, true. But if they look for long enough where they cannot find themselves, they will realize something. And so many humans have reached that point now. They have been looking a long time, for generations and generations and generations, they have been trapped in that movement. So suddenly comes the realization, no, this is not it. I have achieved that, I have added that to me, and still the craving is there, the needing is there, the sense of lack is there, the fear is there. And then comes the realization, no, this is not where I am. And there's suddenly an openness comes to spiritual truth. And they're able to listen. And sometimes all that's needed is just one little pointer, in many cases of people who are really ready. They hear one statement, one word, one pointer. Oh my God. And suddenly something new opens up. The fictitious world of the fictitious self loses its hold over you.